Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Live from the Skyline Studios, high above Wecker and Columbus Drive, overlooking the beautiful Chicago River. I'm Anna DeBlantis. Hope you had a good holiday weekend. We do want to get to your shopping stories. Did you participate in Black Friday? Did you go out and shop, or did you stay on your device this weekend? Fewer people, if you look at the data, the sheer data, fewer people went to the stores, more people went to their computers, and some records were set. We want to talk about that for sure. We're already getting your text, so thank you for that. Could not get near Starbucks on Michigan Avenue on Black Friday. Different than my situation at Target at 9:30 on Friday. I was even dreading even going because I thought, is it going to be crazy? I'm going to get close to it. I found parking right away, checked out right away. I think I missed that doorbuster rush in the morning, but still, different situation than I've seen in years past. So we're going to talk about that. 312-981-7200. Bring us your texts, your calls. We will talk about that. But we've got to get to the top story of the day. We've been following this developing story here on WGN Radio since the news broke. Just before 11 o'clock this morning, the mayor stepped up to the podium and announced that she has terminated Superintendent Eddie Johnson immediately, fired for cause. Not a lot of specifics, though, have been given other than it relates to that incident when he was found asleep at the wheel of his vehicle near Bridgeport, his home, after a night out with family and friends. He had a few drinks, he told the mayor. He was on blood pressure meds. He's fallen asleep before in that situation. The mayor came out today and in no uncertain terms said, he lied to me repeatedly. He misled the public. The Inspector General report came out today, and that's when the mayor said, I'm not having it. The Chicago Way, her quote, must give way to a new reality. There must be no mistake about the message I am sending today. Really strong words from the mayor about that situation, but so many questions. Still, the specifics, the why. Why exactly was he fired? What did he lie about? There was that reference to, out of difference, to his front, to his wife and family. I'm not going to go into details, but we're going to ask the mayor when she comes on today, Mayor Lori Lightfoot, our guest in the 2 o'clock hour, see if she can provide any more details at that time. See, Bertrand, have there been any more updates that you've seen or you've heard about in terms of that why piece of things that everybody's asking? What did he lie about? What is it?
Well, I mean, it seems pretty safe to say it has something to do with that night, but no, we have not learned anything more. I mean, you know, the mayor's office announced, I think it was around 9:30 or so, that she would have a news conference, wasn't on her earlier schedule, set for 10:30, and she said she met with Superintendent Johnson earlier today, gave him the news, and was asked what his mood was or his tone, and she said it was one of acceptance.
The one thing I have learned, there's a new detail I haven't seen everywhere, but I'll share it with you, is that the body cam tapes, those, you know, the body cams that the officers wear, the officers who are responding to that scene, that did not reflect, when the IG looked at them and reviewed those tapes, that did not reflect what he had shared, Superintendent Eddie Johnson had shared with the mayor. So there were a different set of circumstances on that tape than what he had talked about when he explained what happened that evening. So that would be, again, it still leads you back to some of the same questions, but it leads you a little bit more down the line of why she made this decision. Again, Mayor Lightfoot will join us 2 o'clock hour, and we'll continue to follow developments on that story. But we also want to talk about the holiday shopping experience, because it seems as if this year was different. It was a surprise in terms of fewer people going to the stores. More people went to their phones and computers. A record $7.4 billion spent online, and that is only that's the second most ever spent. If you look at last year's Cyber Monday, which we're on Cyber Monday now, and they're supposed to set a record again today, that is the second most ever spent online, and it happened on Black Friday. So I wonder, did people avoid the stores? Did you avoid the stores this year? Did you go for the doorbusters? Did you get any deals? Were the malls near you crowded, or the stores near you? Were they crowded?
I accidentally found myself going to a big box store about 9 o'clock, And I'm awake in the morning. I mean, oh my God, what was I thinking? Because I just it was just my normal Saturday run or Friday run, and the place was empty.
It was empty.
Yeah.
We want to hear from you if you 312-981-7200 if you were in a crowded place, and I'm wondering if there were certain times of day that were crowded. I did notice that at the Target after as I was leaving, they seemed to be really busy in the pickup area where people had ordered online and they were picking up, and then the stocking area where they're sending those deliveries out to people who had already ordered things. And we've got 847. Wow, went to Fry Electronics in Downers Grove. Not only empty in that big store, but they are not restocking the shelves. So not sure what that means. We, you know, there's sort of an economy story here. We spent a lot, but it's all online. What does that mean for retail? How does this change things? I don't know what your experiences were. The thing is, it used to be if Black Friday was more of a social experience where you could go out. I remember going out with my sisters and my mom. We'd go to a few stores. We'd take in the lights. You know, we live in Rogers Park, but we'd come downtown. It was a big event. We'd go to a couple stores and, you know, just see the city with all the lights and take it in and then go to get lunch or something together. There's that experiential piece of it that, I don't know, maybe are people still doing that?
I feel like so many people have gotten mad over the past few years of how early they were opening stores that now I noticed many stores weren't even opening till Friday morning, maybe 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one difference. I also noticed the whole Black Friday sale seemed to be going on all week.
It did.
For most places. It almost seems like they're kind of getting rid of the idea.
And the emails were like, hey, it's still going on. You can still have time. I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah, but I made the mistake
yesterday.
I started looking at certain deals, and then I was like, oh, you know, I could use a new mattress, and I start searching for all these mattresses. Uh-huh. And then I end up buying one that isn't even on sale, and it's for myself. So I did Black Friday all wrong.
Oh, all right. We want to hear your stories from Black Friday and the whole shopping weekend. Do you have any deals for Cyber Monday? 312-981-7200. Guess who's here? Mike Toomey from the WGN-TV Morning News team. He's the staff announcer. And Mike, thank you for coming in and talking with us.
It's a pleasure to be here with you.
And you are such a great announcer.
Thank you. I love your
work. I admire the whole show, but you're a special piece of that, Mike. And you offer to come in today and just tell us what's coming up on the show.
And I'm happy to do that. Let me know when you want me to do it.
Right now.
To chime in.
How about
all
now?
Right.
And then we've got, oh, go ahead.
No,
I was going to promote, but that's you.
Coming up, Mayor Lori Lightfoot will be here. That's right. You heard it right. And after the break, our pal Joe Donlan has a quiz show for us.
Oh, quiz show. We'll look forward to that as WGN Radio continues.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bal Nandra.
Joe Donlan is, in fact, here. And thank you so much for
coming
in the studio, Joe.
Tom Skilling's the big deal, though.
He is.
Let's not fool ourselves.
You know, even when Bozo's on the float, people are still yelling, Tom!
That's right.
Tom!
Yeah, there's a pecking
here.
Order on the parade. It goes Santa Claus,
right.
Bozo, Tom Skilling.
Yeah. And it's very close between the three.
Yes, there's
Make
not
no
much
mistake.
To separate them.
But that is when you truly find out, you know, the greatness
of Tom Skilling.
Oh,
we all love him. We do. But
yeah.
We love you too, Joe.
Well,
and
thank you.
You know, it's cool that you came by. And I know, I just really quickly, can I get your take when you hear the Superintendent Eddie Johnson story about this happening so quickly?
I think disappointing would be the word that would come to mind. You know, to have the mayor say he engaged in a series of ethical lapses that are intolerable. And then I think the one thing the mayor has made clear she won't put up with is people lying to her. And she said he was intentionally dishonest with me and communicated a narrative replete with false statements. And that's just that's disappointing, I would say, because you can't make everyone happy as the superintendent of police. But I think you want your superintendent to have at least the moral high ground. And when you listen to old statements that he was making after this incident in October, I think a lot of people were willing to give him the doubt.
Sure.
And I think the mayor made clear today that she's not going to give him that.
And she stood by
benefit.
Him, too, during his retirement speech and spoke very, very highly of him. And she had a role in his selection. I know that Mayor Emanuel picked him, but she was part of that police board at that time that was making recommendations. So there is a close connection there. And, you know, there are a lot more details that I'm sure we'll fill out in due time on that.
Well, the other thing, too, is that it, to me, harkens back to the Jussie Smollett case where Superintendent Johnson, again, you want him to have the moral high ground and to be upset that, in his opinion, Smollett's not telling the truth. And then you have a situation here where he's accused of doing the same thing. And we'll find out if and when this Inspector General's report is released. As of now, it's still ongoing.
Right,
so we may hear about it by the end of the year. But clearly, for the mayor to make this move, you know, in advance of the superintendent's announced retirement is a big deal.
And the strong words she used.
Right.
So more to come on that.
Mm-hmm.
You have, didn't you bring along with you some fun game that I don't know anything about, but that
you said
you would tell us?
We talked about how it looked like it was going to be a slow news day, so I came up with a quiz for you on your first day. Now, you worked with Ben Bradley,
well,
on your show for quite a while.
Sure.
I mean, you worked with Roe, obviously, for 4.5 years.
That's right.
But I want to enlist my friend Mike Toomey here and have him help me. So we're going to find out how well you know Ben and Roe.
Oh, my gosh. Ben and Roe. Because you went on a bro trip.
Yes, we did.
Together.
Right.
That was all super secret. And then we learned you just went to the Notre Dame game.
Right.
And there was a lot of nonsense.
There was some tomfoolery.
And there was a lot of, like, sort of that story you tell your parents that we got to hear, and then the real story that we really didn't get to hear. And then there were, like, text messages going back and forth and people smiling. And I just.
All of that.
All right.
Yes. All right, so how well do you know Ben and Roe? So, Mike, let's start with question number one.
I know Roe pretty well, so I'm not going to be stumped on
those. Each question, either a Ben, Roe, or both question.
Ooh,
and all you need to answer, you got a 50-50 shot here, true or false.
Got it.
And wait, let me get these.
This is going to be easy.
Question number one. Ben took a semester off college to be a clam diver in Maine. True or false?
No way. He's not tough enough for that. No way.
You're going false?
False.
That's correct.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct that it's false.
Correct that it's false.
Okay.
That's right. But only I hear it was because he struggled to get into a wetsuit. That's
that's the only reason,
that's
right?
Send us the pictures, please.
Ooh, all right. How about Roe?
Number two, Roe is a trained medical assistant. True or false?
He's a hypochondriac who knows a lot about medicine, but no, he's not a trained medical assistant.
That is true. Yes. He is
He's
a phlebotomist.
Oh, he can draw blood?
Yeah.
Is that what that means?
Yeah.
Which is probably not surprising.
You got to check up on things every hour or two just to make sure.
Yeah.
Had no idea.
Okay. Well, that's
good. Hey, you are an investigative reporter,
there
Joe Donlin.
Okay. Now, this one's on Ben.
Okay. Number three. Ben petitioned Homewood Flossmoor High School to be the first male on the all-girls volleyball team, citing gender discrimination. Did Ben do this?
Yeah, I think he did.
That's false, but I love your answer.
Tells us about high school, how he was standing up for things left and right,
right.
And just, you know,
I mean, that's
taking
about
a
the
stand.
Most Ben thing I can imagine.
Isn't that something he would do?
Well, apparently he went on to become the team manager for the girls, hoping to get a date to prom, I think. That part of it might be true.
I have a friend who tried out for the girls' cheerleading team.
Mm-hmm.
He was in high school, and, you know, he said, ha-ha, aren't I funny? And they called his bluff, and he made the squad. He did the whole year as the only male cheerleader.
How about
good for
that?
Him.
Yeah, good
they
for
have
him.
A lot of male cheerleaders now. That's the thing.
All right. This one's on Roe.
All right. Roe.
Bring it on.
True or false, Roe once broke his arm falling off a tricycle.
Yes, true.
Yes, that is true. Although, we should point out he was 17 at the time.
Of course he was.
I thought you were going to say it happened in the 1890s when the tricycle was like 6 feet off the ground.
Yeah.
It would actually happen.
All right, we have a couple more. How much time do we have?
We have time for two more, and then we want to talk about holiday shopping. We have a number of texts coming in, and thank you for that about your holiday shopping experiences.
All right, number five. Ben, true or false, has one of the largest collections of antique music boxes in the Midwest.
Antique music boxes?
Ben?
No. Uh-uh. That's too crafty for him.
I don't know the answer to this, but I'm going to go with true.
True?
Really?
No.
Wait, what do you mean you don't know the answer?
I know the answer. It's false.
It's false.
What if you made it up and you really did?
Exactly. That's,
he wouldn't.
That's
true. He's just not. No.
All right. Let's go to the last one.
The last one.
Final one. Is it a row question?
It's
a row
question.
And, all right.
Row
and
I got
Ben.
This. And Ben.
Yeah.
Oh, this is just a row one.
No. Go to the last one.
Go to the last. Okay. Gotcha. True or false? Row and Ben once drank 2 cases of beer while salmon fishing on Lake Michigan.
Yes.
They were arrested at midnight.
Yes.
After they made the buffet restaurant stay open.
All of this is true. Yes. Yeah. They were arrested at midnight? Did
go
I hear
ahead.
That part right?
All right. They were arrested at midnight after they made a buffet restaurant stay open at gunpoint while they ate everything inside.
Wait.
I think we got that last part's probably the last part's probably the false part.
That's the false part. But I think you're probably right on that's safe on
sort of right.
True.
It was a super
partially
soaker.
Right. Yes.
I think they've had a couple cases of beer while salmon fishing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for that. That was fun. I think I did pretty well.
You did. You did well.
I think there's a lot of mystery to that Ben Bradley, I will say. He's always sending texts to Ro while he's on the air and mentioning things that Ro can't share with anybody else, frankly. Right. This is how it is.
He just sent me a text that said, a clam diver? Seriously?
Impossible.
He hears everything.
He does. He knows.
And the other one said, when can you come see my antique music box collection?
That's right.
See, that's not Ben at all.
By the way.
815, we went to Menards at 5:30 in the morning. Okay, so that's like the doorbuster time.
Mm-hmm.
The line wrapped around the building all the way out to the road. Easily 1,000 people plus there. See, that's the thing. Those doorbusters still draw people in. And we're going to have a cyber expert, and Ryan Burrow is going to talk to us today about the best deals and that kind of thing. But it does feel as if there are some deals to be had. There are some lowest price opportunities. You just got to do your homework, right? Because what I end up doing is if I go into a store physically, I end up buying more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you're online, maybe that's not the case. Maybe you're more targeted. But when I go in, like I went to a Best Buy and came back with a Space Invaders mm-hmm. tabletop thing. Like, you know, those old school tabletop Space Invaders video games. And I had no intention of buying this at all. But it was, you know, I just go in and then you're there and they know. They get you. That's how they get you.
What's the doorbuster deal at Menards that you have to get there at 5:30 in the morning? I mean, to me, Menards is like Disneyland. Home Depot,
you
all
love
those
all that
stores.
Fix-It stuff?
I just don't know what would get me there at 5:30 in the morning.
No, I don't know.
Went to Meijer at 2 p.m. Store was pretty much empty. So that's maybe the later in the day stuff we didn't see as much. Like people weren't necessarily
right.
coming out.
You know, we were looking for something at the Apple store. My wife said, I don't know that I want to go down there. And sure enough, you're like, well, just get it online. I think a lot of people probably are doing that.
All right. We have to break. I'm being told. Joe Donlin, the principal anchor for WGN TV News. Thank you for coming and bringing that awesome report. Would I get an A, would you say, on the quiz?
You get an A. I would absolutely give you an A.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
We'll be watching you on the 9 and 10, and you're also on the 5 and 6.
Yes.
Ben there today?
Ben is there today.
Give him my regards, okay?
I will.
All right. Mike Toomey, what's coming up here?
Coming up, it's Money Monday. Our personal finance questions will all be answered. And Steve Dale talks about doodles and more.
I love that voice. Thank you. We'll be back with more in a minute. All right, it's Money Mondays. This is Anna DeVellantis live from the Skyline Studios. 1:32 is the time. Now, we should, a programming note, we should say normally you hear John Williams here, King John. You can now hear King John from 9 a.m. to noon. He's right after Steve Cochran, who's 5 to 9. And then G. Suki is the noon business hour, followed by me at 1 to 3. And it's an honor to sit in front of this microphone, whether it's 3 to 7, as I used to do with Rokan, or now from 1 to 3. So let's keep the conversation going. And thank you for your texts as we share your experiences from Black Friday and the whole shopping weekend. I was at Kohl's yesterday in Woodstock. The housewares and small appliance shelves were almost empty. Boy, there is a story to tell from what's going on here. And joining us are two money experts, Carol Roth. She's a recovering investment banker and creator of the Future File Legacy Planning System. Scotty Martin, too. You know him. You love him. Kingsview
Hopefully.
Asset Management. Well, we'll see.
Yeah, and maybe not after this. I did do some shopping, but maybe didn't buy enough things. Maybe so they'll stop loving me.
What'd you get, Scott?
What'd you get?
Well, I did the interesting thing, which is actually funny, because if you look at the numbers now, guys, we had the most online shopping, I mean, well into the billions of dollars, on Black Friday. Online shopping. And traffic was down at the big box or at the brick and mortar retailers. So I did a lot of my shopping, my Cyber Monday shopping, on Friday and didn't go to the stores.
So you were one of those people that was part of the $7.4 billion record-setting sales. They said that we set this big record that mostly we used to spend them in the stores on Black Friday and then turn to the other sales on Cyber Monday. I gotta tell you, I was so lured by all the emails I was getting that I was like, maybe I don't go into the stores as much as I used to.
Let me tell you, I'm a pioneer. My tradition on Black Friday is not going into a store. It's the only time you can keep me out of a store is on Black Friday. I haven't been in one in years and years and years. So I continue that tradition, but I actually started my holiday shopping the weekend before in the suburbs of Chicago in Northbrook, and there were already lines the week before Black Friday, which I think bodes for a really good holiday season and a good fourth quarter.
Well, and that's the killer, is that these days, Black Friday is really just a day. I mean, it's not really what it once was, because to Carol's point, if you look at some of the sales that were out there in the previous weeks, the week before when she was out there, I mean, I want photographic evidence that you didn't go to the stores on Friday. Just, I'm going to check all the security cams. just to make sure she's not lying to us. But the reality is people did do their quote-unquote Black Friday shopping like all of October pretty much, and certainly some of November.
Oh, it's true. It sort of lasts forever and ever. It feels like it's even dragging out days later. Are you just, Carol, you're just one of those people who doesn't like the crowds?
I just don't like people. Basically, it simply boils down to I just don't like people.
And I was worried they were going to stop loving me. This is great. Here's the funny thing.
Listen, I'm just keeping it 100 here.
The crazy
I think we're liking you more right now.
This is looking great for me. It's amazing. I didn't expect any of this. This is great. The ruse on a lot of the shoppers, though, that I found, and one of the reasons I didn't go to the stores on Friday, if you look online, which everybody does nowadays, mm-hmm. in comparable shop or comparison shop, whatever the term is, mm-hmm. most of the items were priced just about the same, if not cheaper, online on Black Friday than they were, other than a crazy doorbuster deal or something
right,
you had to get if you got there
exist.
Like 3:30 in the morning.
And you know who this actually benefits? It benefits small business owners, because mm-hmm. small business owners that don't have the same lure into the stores are able to compete very well online. They're able to send the emails out or use social media to promote their deals. So the fact that over 30% of the purchases online were made on a smartphone, that helps a small business owner. And if you have a small business and a small business website that isn't mobile friendly, mm-hmm. make sure that you do that right away.
It's a great point, because we should support our small businesses. We had Small Business Saturday.
Correct.
There was Subscribe Sunday and Museum Store Sunday. I'm trying to keep track of all of them. Cyber Monday today. I will tell you, I went into Target and I didn't find incredible deals. I wasn't there for the doorbusters, but I didn't find incredible deals. What I did get was a 20% off for a future visit. So now I got to go back and you know, spend my money there.
You.
It's kind of crafty.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing,
well,
these retailers.
And it's funny you say about the deals and the lack thereof, because what I remember from last year, I think, I mean, I was drinking a lot of eggnog back then too, but one of the things
that you mean just back then?
Yeah, Carol,
like 5 minutes ago, either way.
Oh,
What happens is, remember what happened last year in like the middle of December towards the new year, was a lot of companies, a lot of stores had excess stuff. And so they had to start really cutting the deals on a lot of the stuff that they wanted to get rid of by the end of the year. So remember that when you're going into some of those stores and maybe you didn't see quite the price you wanted, you may see it in mid-December when they got to get it rid of.
That's what I hope for them.
I have another take on it, mm-hmm. that the reason why the retailers aren't doing the same level of deep discounts is because they don't need to.
The
economy's doing well. People are doing well. They have more
people
cash.
They're spending.
They have more cash in their pockets. They haven't tapped out their credit lines yet. And so they don't have to give the deep discounted deals, because people have that pent-up demand and are looking and ready to spend.
This is an interesting take from one of our listeners, 708. I only shopped online Black Friday, and here's why. I purposely shopped at stores before and after the holiday that were closed all day Thanksgiving, such as Trader Joe's and Costco, because as a healthcare provider, it's part of my job. She knows she has to work on those days, or he, but certainly a retail employee shouldn't have to be without family on holidays. So people are being mindful about their decisions about where they spend, whether it's a small business. And I mean, I guess deals motivate us too, but I think there is a little bit more of that playing into the picture.
Yeah, amen to that. A lot of people like to say that capitalism is broken, and I always say, no, it's the consumer that's broken. It's not that the stores are so greedy that they have to open up on Thursday. It's that there's consumer demand. So
totally.
When you have people who say, you know what, we're going to have a respectful day, we're not going to go into the stores, we're just going to shop online, that even things out, because if there isn't the demand, the stores aren't going to open.
And let's face it, even if you buy something online, there's people working behind that to put it in the box or fulfill the order. I mean, yes, that's somewhat noble to not go into the store, but it still needs to be worked on by somebody.
No, but not necessarily, because you can have those orders build overnight and then have them fulfilled on Black Friday or over the weekend or Monday. It doesn't mean that there's an elf sitting back there with Santa Claus putting stuff in a box.
Children are listening.
No, I didn't say that the elves don't exist. I'm just saying that they're not working on Thanksgiving. They're having the day off.
I do say, speaking of this mindful thing, is I do feel as if I try to spend, I know I do shop deals online, no question, but I do try to spend a portion of my holiday budget on local businesses. There's a toy store in our neighborhood. They do an amazing job. I don't want that toy store to go away. I go over to it. They have great customer service. They come up and they make recommendations, and it's a couple bucks more, maybe, you know, or maybe it's about the same, or sometimes they even match.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool to sort of make that choice, and I just want that store to be there. So I think about that.
Absolutely.
Well,
I mean, I have a blog at carolroth.com that is all about small business and advocating for small business, and we have an ultimate gift guide. If you go through about three blog posts back, back, we have more than 100 small businesses that have put up everything from food to games to books to really cool different things, jewelry and the like, that you can go out and support a small business. So even if you don't know where to get started, a lot of us have curated this and made it easy for you so that you can support the backbone of our economy,
ladies,
which is 50% of all of the
spending,
sales. Yeah. Right? Yeah,
70% of it stays in the community.
That's right. And that stuff she just mentioned, that's all stuff that I like. So if you guys want to buy
what do you want, Scotty?
Blog, please.
What do you want, Scotty? I'm not sure we're up to buying you presents yet.
Let's see how you do. And it's easy. You know, it's actually interesting too, because this is a really good time for the stock market typically, as far as history goes, going to the end of the year, the Santa Claus, Festivus, Christmas rally, whatever you want to call it. And the reality is the markets have come so far, kind of so fast in the last few months. I mean, Carol and I talk a lot about this on Fox, is like, now it may be one of those weird Decembers again where the holiday rally, the holiday spending and all that stuff is kind of maybe already happened too. I mean, look at the markets today. They're down pretty big on trade news and other things like that.
But I do think we're going to see the resurgence in January or February, because you have to remember the fourth quarter spending doesn't come out from a market perspective until January. So I actually think it's a good thing for the market, where normally you might have had a lull going into the beginning of the year. This time, with the strong holiday sales, strong consumer is 70% of the overall economy. If people are out there spending, that's going to be great for the economy and great for the stock market going to 2020.
So I'm not an economist. I don't deal with money on the level you do. But when I see these numbers, this record on Black Friday, when you see the spending and the positive kind of outlook it feels
and
from consumers.
Thanksgiving travel. I mean, anything that you think of, Thanksgiving travel is hitting another record. Again, that's filtering into the economy.
And so you would read this all as Wall Street's looking at this in a good way? They think these are positive signs?
It is. The worry I have, though, is it becomes this, like, it was a self-fulfilling prophecy for a long time. And there's a great wealth effect that the stock market has. You look at your 401k balance, even look at stuff like home prices, and you're like, okay, I can afford to spend that additional couple hundred bucks over Christmas, right? Mm-hmm. Or in Carol's point, you know, every 5 minutes, whatever it is. But the reality is, at some point, though, I feel like that data or that information gets built into prices, as far as stock prices. So when the data like today comes out and everybody's like, oh, my God, you know, billions and billions we're spending, according to Adobe, $9.4 billion on Cyber Monday today. It's like the market is kind of like, all right, what's next? And I just see how the market's come really, really far. And it's like there's got to be some sort of pullback here, I feel like, just to kind of even out things a little bit.
Cover the Wall Street Journal this weekend edition. It said, hey, there's no way, basically, I'm paraphrasing it, but it said 2019 was so good, analysts do not expect 2020 to be as good. Is that the sense you're getting, and why is that? Well, why? What would be fueling that headline?
I mean, I don't know that I can agree with that. I think a lot of it depends on trade. If we get trade settled, or at least it de-escalates a little bit, I think that that is going to spur business spending. And the consumer strength going into next year, given how tight the job market is, there's no reason to think that it will slow. Now, we do have very high consumer debt levels, almost record consumer debt levels, but consumers aren't stretched. They're not delaying paying their credit cards or their mortgages in the same way that we've seen previously. So until we start seeing those signs, I think the consumer is still going to be strong.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think the other thing, though, too, about your point, Anna, about that article is that that's actually a good thing, in my opinion, if the expectations are low. Because the more people say, oh, hey, 19 was so great, 25% or whatever on the S&P, pick your favorite number. It's like, okay, 2020 can't be as good. Well, that's when markets tend to go wild, is when everybody's like, oh, okay, here comes the big fall. And I know I was talking about that previously. I'm talking about December and just general market action, about how things do go up and things are positively slow, but there's pullbacks everywhere.
I would say that in economics, in life, and in relationships, it's always great to set low expectations.
Let's talk more about the relationships.
Have low expectations and beat them instead of high expectations, and then nobody fulfills
them. We have just a minute here, and then we're going to have to break. But let's just talk, before we get to your personal finance questions for Scott Martin and Carol Roth, if you have them, send them our way, because they know this stuff, and they can answer those questions. Frozen 2, I went to go see it. Over the holiday weekend, I was at Navy Pier, the full IMAX experience.
Did you like it?
I will say, as an adult, it was so enjoyable. And I was not ready to believe that, because before my daughter went through that whole let it go phase where she wouldn't stop singing it in the house, let it go.
She wouldn't let it go.
But now it's Into the Unknown is the new one. But it was so good, and it broke records, Scott Martin. I saw that on your list of things to talk about today, and I was very surprised, frankly.
It was my idea. I went and saw it about a week ago. It did break records for the most money that a film has made over Thanksgiving holiday weekend since, I think, Hunger Games whatever the title was of the Hunger Games. There was a subtitle on the Hunger Games thing. It was another edition
Hunger Games, Thanksgiving Hunger Games, edition.
Something Unleashed or whatever the heck that was. I forget that movie. But the point is Disney has hooked a lot of these kids, and frankly, I guess in your case, Anna, parents too, on the franchises that they have going, whether it's Cars, Toy Story, they've got the Star Wars, Lucasfilm stuff that they bought some years ago, and Disney's unstoppable, and Frozen 2, I'll admit it right here, was a great film.
It was. Oh, you saw it too?
I did see it a week ago.
Did your girls drag you to it and you went to see it?
He went by himself.
And I almost even dressed up. I almost dressed up as Olaf, but I was going to dress up.
Olaf, he's the best.
Yeah,
he steals the show.
He does. And funnily enough, the story grows up even a bit as how it kind of goes through with Olaf doing what he does. And then, you know, I don't want to ruin it for people, but there's a big Olaf part in there that the kids, I think, have a good time wrapping their heads around, let's say.
Carol, go see it. I mean, really.
Yeah.
No, listen, I absolutely love Disney. And since I don't like people, I will wait for it to come out on Disney Plus, and then I will binge it.
There you go.
Yeah, are there any deals on Disney Plus? Have we heard? Because I heard some streaming services are offering
they already have a very low.
Yeah, they do have a low. And Disney, I believe, cut it by $10 a month until, like, for the first year until it re-ups, and then it re-ups, I think, at the $69.95 amount. I got Disney Plus free through
Verizon
through our iPhone deal, and then I got and then through Verizon. Yeah, you're right. And then some of the other streaming stuff is just out of control, though. I don't even know what we're streaming anymore.
I have no idea. I just hand the remote to my husband and say, okay, you find it.
I
don't know.
Smart TV, dumb remote, because I can't get to all the streaming services.
Dumb
I need
operator.
To use. Yeah, or dumb operator. Dumb guy on the couch.
Me too. Scott Martin, Carol Roth are our guests. You have any personal finance questions for them? Please ask. We've got a couple of things to talk about. The London ban, Uber. What else do we want to talk about? Guys, your parents' financial advice is now kind of wrong. It doesn't all apply to today's times. Why that is the case? And much more coming up here as we take a break. More in a moment. Live from the Skyline Studios, this is Anna DeVlantis here on WGN, and it's Money Mondays. We're talking with Scott Martin and Carol Roth. We've covered Frozen. We've covered Black Friday and all the shopping and what it means for the economy. There's a great story here I think a lot of people will relate to. It's out of the Wall Street Journal. It talks about your parents' financial advice is kind of wrong is what they're saying. And this is the thing. They say the advice your parents have always given you is go to college, get a good job, save for a down payment on a house, and then buy a home. So kids borrowed big amounts for college. They got jobs with fewer benefits than their parents had in real terms. The housing and rent has soared. Those are realistic terms too. And they find themselves nowhere near that road to success that they thought they were doing the right thing. And that's not exactly where they've landed. Carol, I know you have thoughts on this issue and you're smiling there like, what?
Yeah, so I sort of reject the hypothesis, or maybe I reject your parents, depending on what they told you. My dad told me at a very young age that if you're going to go to school, you can only take on as much debt as you can pay down. And so from my perspective, that was that return on investment calculation was absolutely critical. You cannot take out six figures in debt and have a five-figure income coming out after school.
Or a low five-figure even is what a lot
exactly.
of entry-level positions
and
did.
And expect that you can pay it down. So I don't think that the advice is wrong. I just think they forgot to follow through and say not any amount of debt is appropriate. You know, you basically should be taking out no more than the amount that you're going to expect to make 5 years out of school. And if you take on more than that, yes, it's going to be very difficult to pay it down. And also, you need to pay it down before you go buy the house. I mean, there is some delayed gratification and there is, some prioritization that needs to happen here. And I think that is what's gotten lost. And the fact that everybody is doing so well and that the economy is strong is that sometimes the needs of the past have changed into once, and you can't have everything at the same time.
Well, and I think to that point, people levered up, to your point, right? So you had student debt, you racked up credit cards, you got the mortgage. I mean, everything just ballooned into things that were unsustainable, to your point, Carol. I think also, though, back in the day of our parents telling us how to do things when they were growing up, or how they did it when they were growing up and we were growing up listening to them, was that colleges didn't cost as much, and it was maybe easier for them at that point to figure, because let's face it, the world is changing. The economy is morphing into so many different things in different ways. I mean, think about, I'm going to sound dorky, but like 7-8 years ago, nobody was texting. We weren't streaming Disney on Netflix and all that crazy stuff. You know what I mean? And so there's a lot of different areas that are happening in this world, in this economy, that are a boon because of capitalism and entrepreneurship that I think are harder for somebody in that college age years, or maybe even in the teenage years, to figure out, hey, what am I going to do when I grow up? Versus maybe when our parents were growing up, and you could go to college to be an engineer or something like that, or you know, work in a manufacturing plant,
and you didn't have the loans that you have
didn't
now
have them because it was
so
cheaper.
So I'm going to actually disagree with this. So
surprise.
So neither of my parents went to college. I got into an Ivy League school. I had to pay my way through it. I graduated more than 20 years ago. I know it's shocking.
No way.
I know it's shocking. With $40,000 in college debt, which is a very substantial amount of college debt, particularly
but
back then.
Didn't that correspond to your initial salary? Because I think that's where people are getting
that,
into trouble.
Bing.
They're carrying $150,000
right.
and their first job pays $40,000.
Yeah.
And that's my point, is that my dad said you can only take it on if you're going to get straight A's and pay it down and take on a job that allows you to do that. And it's that piece of the equation that has been lost. And I know, Anna, that you had sent us over a really cool mm-hmm. college calculator.
You know, let me share that with you, because, Carol, I saw this and I thought, gee, I wish I had this data when I was going to college. And I think it's so useful for anybody who's got a kid going to college. If you're planning on, if you're going back to college, collegescorecard.ed.gov. And what they do is they assemble an incredible, a boatload of government data. And they tell you, you enter the colleges you want to go to, and you can do whatever you want. Every single accredited college and university in America is in there. You enter your major, what you plan to major in, and it'll estimate your earnings post-college based on real data. What people who went to that school, who were an accounting major or a journalism major or an engineering major, what they ended up getting. And what it helps you do is exactly what you're talking about, Carol. Yeah. Create that ratio of amount you're spending on college and then the ratio to how much you expect to earn post-college, a very important ratio. Maybe it's not important. Maybe you've got, you know, your parents have gifted you some money to go to college, and that doesn't matter. You just want to go to the school you really want to go to, and that's your dream. But this ratio, I think, matters.
It absolutely matters. And I will say that it doesn't matter where you go to school as much as it does
that's true.
How you perform in school, and also making sure that you're not stressed out when you come out of school. So I think that there's a little bit too much emphasis on that, and also not enough emphasis on things like the trades. There are so many open
schools,
yeah there's so
sure.
many open jobs in areas like plumbing and construction that you can get a six-figure income within a couple of years after being an apprentice, and a lot of them have great pensions and benefits. And we're not doing enough to open up all the different opportunities to young people and really teach them that financial literacy, and whether it's them and or their parents together, because obviously the parents are co-signing on these loans, that kind of financial literacy is missing from our education and is creating this problem of people taking on too much debt.
Yeah, it is a problem. And why does it seem to be more of a problem? Is because schools and universities have become more expensive, or what?
Crazy expensive. And the availability of the debt, as Carol mentioned, is out there, so you're going to take it. And I guess the one question I have, boys and girls, is if you do this college scorecard thing, and you do find out that the job you're going to take is too much for the debt you're going to take on, or the job you take is too little for the debt you're going to take on, what do you do, though? See, what do people do with that information? Do they say, oh,
yeah.
you know what? I'm going to change my whole line of thinking and not do it. I mean, that's
or
the
not
other thing.
Well,
right,
or
not go to college.
Or
and miss out on the parties.
Or go to a different school, or look into different majors. You cannot have everything. There are needs and wants, and you have to be able to prioritize in there. But I will tell you why colleges have gotten so expensive. The reason colleges have gotten so expensive is that the government took over lending. So it used to be private. It used to be through banks. The government mm-hmm. took it over, and they didn't put any sort of rationalization on how they were giving out the loans. If you want money, you can get
predatory.
It.
Very predatory.
More to come on all of this. Carol Roth, thank you so much. Scott Martin at Scotty Markets. Carol, what's your Twitter handle where we can reach you? People wanted to know your Twitter, or how to reach you on your website.
At Carol J.S. Roth, and the websites are futurefile.com and carolroth.com.
Thank you to you both. Appreciate it. Hope you had a good holiday weekend. Thanks for sharing your thoughts. And Mike Toomey tells us what's coming up here on the show.
We've got a lot more for you this afternoon. Coming up, we'll continue this conversation about Christmas shopping. Ryan Burrow checks in with Cyber Monday Deals. And he may not be Ned Flanders, but Pet World Steve Dale talks about doodles and more. Stick around.
I love how you say doodles. It's Mike Toomey from the WGN-TV Morning News team. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Live from the Skyline Studios, this is Anna DeVlantis here on WGN. You hear the Santa Claus music, and we were talking about holiday shopping. 847 went to the stores at 6 a.m. Thanksgiving morning to Meijer. Very busy, people walking out with 55-inch TVs. Thank you, Sue, for that comment. It's interesting to see some of the big box store new. Well, let's see. They're saying some of the newer, I guess some of the big stores versus the small stores, where the traffic was and where it wasn't. It seems like early in the morning, those doorbusters really brought people out. Ryan Burrow is here with Cyber Deals for us and what's going on this Cyber Monday, because the shopping continues. We had a record on Black Friday, $7.4 billion spent on Friday, which was the second only to last year's Cyber Monday, when people really spent a lot. So I guess consumers are doing their part, but they're turning to their devices a little more than they're going into stores. Today is the day, typically, where you go into the store and you look for the deals.
And the days are getting blurred, aren't they? I mean, what was initially the Friday after Thanksgiving was the day when everyone would go and they'd sit out in front of the store and they'd wait for that door to open so they could go get the TVs. That doesn't exist the same way it did maybe even 5 years ago, because these deals are starting even before Thanksgiving in a lot of cases,
yeah.
Right?
And today, I guess some people, there's sort of mixed reviews about Cyber Monday. People are saying, hey, okay, there's some of these deals that seem suspiciously like the deals I could have gotten last week, or I could probably get next week, or maybe even in 2 weeks. And then there are some deals that have been identified to say, hey, you know what, this is the lowest price, and maybe it's around tomorrow, maybe it's around next week, but these are the lowest prices you will probably see on things like this. I know Target is offering an iPad at $20 lower than on Black Friday. They're offering that today. You know, again, I don't know if these things sell out at that price or what happens.
Well, a big deal about today is the fact that these deals usually are coming with free shipping or some kind of discounted shipping, because they want people to get more engaged in this process of buying online, buying on their phone. And people are becoming more comfortable with that. Just what we're seeing in the numbers. You know, you would have asked some people 5 years ago, hey, would you be willing to buy a video game online and have it sent to your house, sent to your doorstep? Would you be willing to buy a television, have it sent to you? And if you would have asked people 5 years ago, they wouldn't have felt as comfortable. Today, they do feel more comfortable with that, and that's what a lot of these numbers are reading. Look, inside that $7.6 billion on Black Friday of deals that were made, more than half of that was done online. So it just shows you people aren't sitting out in front of the stores anymore. First of all, they're starting on Thanksgiving Day while the turkey's still in the oven with their shopping, right? Friday rolls around. They're still at home. They're still shopping. But they feel a comfort level in that process, that the money's going to be accepted, that they're not going to get double charged, that they're going to be able to return it, that it's going to land where it needs to land, whether it be at work, the office, whether it be at school, whether it be at home. And so that process is getting more comfortable. And let's face it, the economy's doing great. And that's what a lot of these numbers are showing us. One, the economy's doing good. Number two, this is a condensed holiday shopping season. So that's part of this as well. You know, last year at this time, we had an extra 6 days.
Thanksgiving was later. Is that why? That
people
have a little less time?
People got to get moving here, because there aren't that many weekends before Christmas. So now's the time to get at this. And that's why we're starting to see a lot of these sales spike as well.
847, my husband works for Menards. Had to be at work at 5 a.m. on Friday. He said the first person in line got there at 2:45 in the morning for the pet beds. So people were asking, why Menards? I guess the pet beds were on sale. And when he left at 3, he said he still had at least 4 or 5 pallets of pet beds left.
Yeah, Menards had the deal. I think it started at 6 and ran till noon. And so you had to get the stuff. And a lot of it was, you know, the quality, it was cheaper, but, you know, people looking for a cheap ladder or something like that, that's where, they had a lot of toys too, I know.
Where are the deals today? One of the things that I was surprised by is that the places I don't usually look at for deals, the kinds of things, the products and services I don't normally look, like AAA is offering a 50% off primary member today. So it's something that if you ever think you wanted to get it, but you're a little bit, you didn't like the price, this is kind of a good day to do something like that. I don't normally think of those things when I think of Cyber Monday and the deals to be had today. I think of more gift items.
Things, yeah, presents, things that you can wrap up. But yeah, no, I think I saw that the Bulls were offering 50% off tickets, which might be another reason behind that as well, with the way that they're playing this season.
I love
season.
Going to Bulls games, but you're right. Yeah, sort of, there may be a few to scoop up there.
That may be a necessity. But yeah, a lot of airlines, hotel chains, maybe offering cyber deals today. So yeah, go ahead and take a look at that. The one problem though and keep in mind, the forecast is $9.6 billion expected to be done today. That's just the forecast. And remember, every forecast number we've seen, they've actually exceeded that so far this holiday season. you've got a lot of money sloshing around on the internet right now, and so you've got to be very, very careful about scams. And I talked to Steve Burness with the Better Business Bureau earlier today about, you know, what are some of the things that are out there that are really getting people? And he said, it's these links. You're on a website, you're on your Facebook page, you're on your Instagram, you're on your favorite news site, and there's a link that pops up that shows a pair of pants that you may be interested in, or a laptop that you may be interested in. You click on that link and say, wow, this is, you know, 30% off what I'd be paying at, you know, the tech store down the street, or the you know, the Kohl's or whatever. This is a great deal. And so you get into the process, you enter in all your credit card information. You don't know who this company is, but you don't care. You're getting a good deal. A lot of scammers are taking advantage of that. So you really got to be careful on these websites. Make sure they're legit. You may not know every place you're buying from because you're looking from deals, but check up, do a little bit of research. Make sure that, you know, your numbers aren't just getting floated off to some, you know, Russian agency that's using them for whatever reason.
It's a good reminder, because we do hear from Steve Burness, the Better Business Bureau, about all the scams that brings the scammers out this time of year. I would just encourage people, if you have any good cyber deals that you're getting today, share it with us and we'll pass it along. 312-798-1-7200, and we will let people know. If you got a good deal and you want to share it with everybody else, let us know what it is. Cruise liners, travel, Legoland tickets, lots of things out there that you wouldn't normally think of that are on sale today. So some things to check out.
Yeah, I'm getting televisions 18% off, computers 17%, and toys 14%. That's about where we're seeing on deals today.
All right, Ryan Burrow, we appreciate it. We've got Mayor Lori Lightfoot coming up on the show here. A big day for the city as the termination of the superintendent, Eddie Johnson, happened suddenly today, and she's going to talk to us about a number of things affecting the city, including that issue coming up here. It's Anna DeVlantis live in the Skyline Studios, and big news today, a shakeup at the top of the police department. Superintendent Eddie Johnson terminated for cause, effective immediately. The mayor made that announcement, stepping up to the podium just before 11 o'clock earlier today. Our guest right now is Mayor Lightfoot, and we want to ask you about that. But first, Mayor, thank you, first of all, for coming on the show. Hey, Mayor.
Hold on, I got to call you back.
Mayor's got another phone call. Hi, Mayor Lightfoot. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Okay. A busy day for sure, and I want to get to the big news that you announced today. But can I just ask you about your holiday first? Can I just, you know, see how it was? I know you had your mom in town, and you were talking about all the joy of that day, and then sort of contrast with what happened today. But did you have a good holiday with your mom?
I did, and I'm happy for you to start with asking me about my holiday. Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays, and I was grateful to have my mom out, and we did a lot of cooking and got to spend some time together. When you have a 91-year-old mother, you never know what's going to happen from day to day, so I'm just grateful for the time that I have with her.
Well, you shared an awesome picture. If people want to see it, you posted it on Twitter of you and your mom in the kitchen cooking, and it was just a beautiful thing. It looked like your mom was doing more cooking than you were, but you were at this beautiful little embrace that just captured what the holidays should be about.
Well, she's used to being the boss of the kitchen, so I did most of the heavy lifting, but she certainly was active in doing the cooking for the meal.
That's awesome. And I know you were celebrating at that time the city budget being passed Thanksgiving week. I want to get to that, but the news that's up front right now is obviously the departure of Eddie Johnson. The Inspector General report came out today. Was that the basis for his dismissal? Is that what happened here?
Yes, I got a copy of the report over the weekend. I read it along with the accompanying video evidence, and it became very clear to me that the conduct that he engaged in on the evening of the October 16th and into the early morning hours of the 17th were in and of themselves the kind of conduct that just was inconsistent with him continuing to be the leader of the department. And in addition to that, it was clear to me that in order to mask what he had done, he made statements in a press conference and then later to me that were just inconsistent with the reality of what had happened.
There was some news that the body cam tapes that the officers who arrived at that scene had initially talked to the superintendent at the scene when he was found asleep at the wheel near his Bridgeport home back at that moment when he said he had a few drinks and he said he had some meds for blood pressure, and that was what we were told at that time. But there were the body cam videotape. Is that what you're referring to when you say there were some tapes?
Well, there are multiple videotapes but I don't want to get into the specifics of what any of them showed. It's just, as I said, the conduct at issue was one that was just inconsistent with somebody who's a leader of a large organization where integrity and honesty have to be the rule of the day, and then coupled with the fact that he created a narrative for the public, for the press, and for me that was just inconsistent with the facts.
Mayor, it's Steve Bertrand in the newsroom, so that I'm going to hone in on that a bit. So what you're saying was, regardless of what he told you later, what he did that night was fireable?
Yes.
And will this Inspector General's report be fully made public? I know you've seen it. I don't think it's been released fully. Will we see all of it?
You know, I can't speak to that. The investigation is still ongoing. There are others whose conduct is being evaluated and some additional facts I think that the Inspector General is going to be focusing on. So I don't have a timeline, and I didn't ask. It's important that his investigation remain independent. But it certainly would be my expectation that once it's finalized, that'll be an issue that will be considered by the city's Corporation Council. You may be aware, City Council passed an ordinance a couple months back that allowed for the disclosure of certain of the IG reports and on areas of high interest in the public, and I would think that this would fall into that definition.
You made some very strong statements today, Mayor. You said the old Chicago way must not give way to must give way to the new reality, and that there should be no mistake about the message you are sending today. You're sending a very strong message about the superintendent and his conduct. Again, is that about lying? Is that the conduct we're talking about?
Well, look, I think that anybody who has the honor of being a public servant, particularly anybody in leadership, has to lead with integrity, has to be honest, and that there's got to be an accountability for all of us. And as I said earlier today, we're human. We are made as flawed individuals. None of us are perfect. We're all going to make mistakes. But the true measure of a leader is stepping up and accepting responsibility when that happens. That's not what happened in this circumstance, quite the contrary, and that's what led to the decision that I made today. It was not an easy decision. It wasn't a decision I entered into lightly, but it was the only decision that could be made under the circumstances. There were just no gray.
I'd like to ask about your personal reaction, because I remember the announcement of the retirement, and you were standing alongside the superintendent, and not only that, you did something unusual in that you sort of chastised or warned the media not to ask questions that might be embarrassing with the superintendent's this young son there. So you were fully on board at that moment. Do you feel he made a fool of you?
Look, I really try not to focus on my own personal feelings about this, but obviously I'm disappointed that he told me something that turned out to fundamentally not be true. But I do think about his young son. I'm a mom myself. My daughter is not much older than his youngest. And, you know, he absolutely made mistakes, real serious mistakes in judgment and conduct. But, you know, I also realize that you have to take the longer view. I'm hoping that he will find some redemption, because I do, as a person of faith, I believe in redemption. And it's not my narrative to tell. It's his story. It's not my story. So I think it's important for us to make sure that the department is stable, and it is, that the folks there focus and remain focused on the mission at hand, which is to keep people in every neighborhood of the city safe. That's a message that I brought to the command staff when I spoke with them earlier today. And I know that's the message that Interim Superintendent Beck will also bring to the command staff.
Well, speak about that, because now we have a new superintendent. Is that right? Charlie Beck, who was the interim, who was supposedly learning under Eddie Johnson for a little while until he got settled in. He is now the superintendent?
Well, he's the interim superintendent, and he's been back and forth here in Chicago for really since sometime in November when we announced him. He has knowledge of CPD anyway because of the strong level of cooperation between LAPD and the Chicago Police Department. There are people on the ground here that were his staff in L.A. that have been working hand in glove with the department now for a number of years, so he's got a head start in his learning curve. And I'm grateful that First Deputy Superintendent Anthony Riccio continues to manage the day-to-day operations of the department. He's really been invaluable and will continue to be so. So I feel very good about where we are, and the search for a permanent superintendent continues.
The officers that responded to the scene, are they part of this Inspector General report as well? They were waived off by the superintendent. That obviously is not policy for the department. Is that also being looked into? Does this go further than we know already?
Well, I'd be careful about making assessments of what happened that night. You said waived off, and I'm not sure that that's accurate. But, look, the Inspector General needs to follow the facts. It needs to thoroughly investigate this. I think it's something that the public has a right to know what happened that night. And when his investigation is complete, it's my expectation that that will become public.
All right. That's totally fair. What's next, though, as you search for a new police superintendent that is... go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's in the hands of the police board. Having conducted that search myself 4 years ago, I know that they have a big lift in front of them, and they will continue to do what's necessary. They're going out to community. They're listening to community members about the kind of values that they believe are necessary for the next superintendent and just general concerns about policing in general. And that outreach to get applicants in, I think the application deadline closes sometime in January, early January. So it's my expectation that we'll have a new superintendent on the job, hopefully by the end of the first quarter, but certainly by the early part of April at the latest.
And Mayor, tell our listeners how the process works. The board will present you with candidates. Is that the next phase?
Yeah, this is all mandated by city ordinance. And so what happens is whenever there's a vacancy, the police board has sole responsibility to conduct a new search. They will then are mandated to present three options to me. And then once that happens, we'll organize a team here in the mayor's office, maybe bring in some outside folks to help us vet the three candidates, and then we'll make a choice. It's certainly my expectation that we will choose from among the three individuals presented by the police board.
Mayor, we only have a minute or so here, but I did want to ask you about the budget. A lot of people might have missed that news because it was a big deal, but it happened during a holiday week. You passed a budget, somehow managing to plug that $838 million budget hole without any substantial property tax increases. You're raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour by 2021. Mm-hmm. I saw your tweet on this. This is not just a budget. It is an expression of our shared values. A lot of people didn't think you were going to get this done the way you did, and you held the line on the property taxes. I know a lot of people came up to you personally to request that.
Yeah. Well, look, it was a hard lift. It's the largest budget cap that we've had in the history of the city of Chicago. I have to give thanks to a lot of people, starting with my team, the budget director, Susie Park, the CFO, Jenny Bennett, our controller, Reshma Soni, and then budget chairman, Pat Dowell. I mean, a lot of people did a lot of hard work to move us from this gaping hole to one that we didn't have a large property tax increase. It was a lot of difficult work, hard work. But I also want to thank the citizens and residents of Chicago, because people gave us their ideas. We had five different budget town halls. We had an online survey, and people were not shy about recommending efficiencies, about potential revenue sources. So hats off to the residents of this city, and we're going to keep working hard like we did this year. We're going to always look internally first to see where we can make cuts and efficiencies before we come to the taxpayers to ask them for anything else.
Well, we appreciate hearing that. That's music to a lot of people's ears. And speaking of hard work, I know there's more ahead, and we wish you success. We need you to be successful for us, Mayor, and we certainly appreciate your time with us this afternoon. So thank you very much on a busy day for you.
Well, thank you, and congratulations on this new show, and have me back sometime again.
Well, you got that for sure. There's an open invitation. Thank you, Mayor Lightfoot. Mayor,
all right, thank you.
Mayor Lori Lightfoot, more coming up here on WGN Radio. Live from the Skyline Studio, 2:33 is the time right now. And look who's here in the studio, if it is not the famous Pet World man, Steve Dale.
Hey, he knows congratulations everything. To you. I've been on so many first programs here over the years.
See?
And
it's good luck.
I hope so.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine anyone truly nicer, but yet a great journalist always.
Thank
That's
you.
First.
Thank and, you, Steve.
And that was a great interview with the mayor.
Well, it was what we try to do. Try to bring information to you, and you can make up your mind on what you think, but to interview people and get what we can. I think the mayor was as open and honest as she could be at this point about that ongoing investigation.
But you didn't ask her about plastic bags.
I didn't. Was I supposed to ask her about plastic bags?
Yes, to make sure everyone picks up after their dogs.
Oh, you know that? I've got those big signs. There's like one little runway of green space in my neighborhood here in Chicago. And on that green space, on each little plot, probably about every 20 feet or so, there's one of those big signs about the fine and pick up after your dog.
I'm
a real
all
issue.
For that.
It's
yeah, we need more dog parks, though.
We do. Well, I'm sure you're on top of that, as you are all things dog and cat and things like that. Last time I talked to you, you were coming back from the cat convention, which I didn't even know these things existed, but, you know, you would know about these things if they do.
Well, next time I ought to go with you to a cat convention.
I'm not crazy about cats. I love pets in general, but I don't love the cats.
I asked Rokan about that once, and he put a lock on the door in the studio, so I don't know why.
He's like, get him out of here.
Yes.
But I do love pets, and I do love dogs, and I want to talk about the growing demand for the doodle. Because it seems like they're such a popular dog now, the poodle mix and the mix with just about anything. I see them all over the place, and it feels like a lot of people are getting these dogs. They're super cute. I have one. It's a golden doodle. They have great energy, though. I think a lot of people don't know and expect that you're getting a dog that's got a tremendous amount of energy, and they're smart dogs, so they need a lot of things to keep them busy.
Yeah.
Right? But then you see this story about the Labrador, the guy who created the Labradoodle, created that mix, and says that I created a Frankenstein puppy. I wish I had never done it. And his story, it sort of shocked me because this is such a popular dog and so many people love them that he would come out like that and say that.
Well, there's a couple things. First of all, he began it all thinking that, I believe, that, okay, we can create a hypoallergenic dog here. Lots of people want that, but they don't want a poodle. And there are other breeds where if you're allergic, the allergies won't be as bad, but poodles might be at that top of the list. Having said that, there is no hypoallergenic dog.
Really?
There just isn't.
There
yes.
isn't.
Now, a lot of people that do well, there's no scientific evidence. I wish there was. But a lot of people who have bad allergies can do great with poodles, any of the varieties.
Mm-hmm.
A standard, a toy, a miniature can do great with some of the terriers in particular, especially at the top of the list, the Kerry Blue Terrier, soft-coated Wheaton Terrier, the Maltese, the Bichon Frise. Those breeds seem to do, and others, really well for many people. The Coton de Tulliar, the very
fancy. Oh my God, that sounds fancy.
It is a very fancy.
Is that a Westminster winner?
It is. It is a once the royal dog of Madagascar.
Oh,
truly.
Mm.
Yes. So those are dogs, and there are more that a lot of people with allergies just do fine with.
Well, I will tell you that's one of the reasons why we got one is because my daughter she gets very wheezy in her eyes and the whole redness and everything.
And now.
And now it really isn't a problem.
There you
Although
go.
Although my husband also has this issue, and he does still, even though she's supposedly hypoallergenic, as you point out, it's not exactly a foolproof promise
it
in
isn't.
All cases.
It isn't. So if you mix two breeds together, you don't know what you're going to get. You're going to get a mixed breed dog, but which part of that mixed breed are you going to get? There's no guarantee that you're going to get the coat that is presumed to be, and not really anyway, hypoallergenic.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as the allergies go now, as far as the energy goes, golden retrievers are surprisingly energetic dogs. At least a lot of lines of golden retrievers are. Standard poodles were bred to go out into the field a long time ago. They can be surprisingly energetic dogs, and both breeds are among the most intelligent. So you've got that all that smarts and all that energy, and yeah, you're right. You have to find a way as an owner to focus that.
Yeah, you do. If you have questions for Steve Dale, pet questions, 312-981-7200. We also want to ask about pets at the holiday time.
The holidays.
Oh, is that what we call holidays?
Yeah, that's
what
we
do. I like
what
you did there. I
Thank
like
you.
That.
Thank
you. Poinsettias, I've always, how do you say that? Poinsettias.
I think. Yeah, is that the right way? Yep.
I want to pronounce the IAS.
So they are not, they're not good.
No.
You don't want a dog chewing on it, but they're not. that the real issue? For me, mistletoe is a bigger issue. So be careful when you hang that mistletoe. If it's fresh mistletoe, it is high enough for you to look at with your partner and smooch under the mistletoe, but that's none of my business.
No,
what is my business?
You don't need to know about that.
I know, but what is my business is that the dog or cat, for that matter, can't get to it because that is a real problem. Christmas cactus is beautiful. I wish I could get mine to bloom. I can't. But again, if your pet nibbles on that, can be potentially dangerous as well.
What's a Christmas cactus?
It's a cactus that blooms at this time of year. We need a plant person to be able to tell us more than that.
Okay, but it has little red blooms. Pretty. Is
that
what I'd call it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the one.
I know that one.
Yeah.
But you got to keep the dog away.
Yeah, the sago cactus, which for a time was really trendy, sold at actually home improvement stores, and similarly can be really dangerous for pets.
Mm-hmm. Do pets have stress and anxiety at the holiday times? They feed off our energy, right?
Yes.
So if we're stressed, they're going to be stressed as well.
That's a really good question. So our schedule has changed around the holiday times as we get closer and closer. The pets don't know that you're under deadline at work and you have to work longer hours. They don't know that you've got to run to that store for the sale because and therefore aren't home to walk the dog as you typically do, or play with the cat, or go to the after-hour Christmas parties. They don't know any of that. They just know the schedule is now new and different for you, and you might be stressed about it, and you're right. They do pick up on our stress. So there's some things we can do. In addition to that, by the way,
mm-hmm.
a lot of people have more people over around the holidays than any other time of year. So the doorbell rings and rings and rings, and all these strangers come over.
Uh-huh.
A lot of dogs, probably your doodle dog at home, love it.
She's a barker.
Yeah, well, okay.
Well, she likes it, but then she's constantly thinking the someone at the door, so she's barking.
So you might,
I don't like the barking, but that's when it happens, when someone's at the door.
Yeah, she might be more anxious than you think, actually. So there are some things that people can do, and especially for cats.
What do you do?
Well, depending on the level of anxiety and depending on whether it's a training issue or an anxiety issue. So if it's an anxiety issue, there are pheromone products, easy to do to minimize that level of anxiety. Just plug them in. One is for cats called Feel-Away. The one for dogs is called Adaptil. And mm-hmm. it automatically is a natural way to help them feel more comfortable in their own environment. I'm a fan of, for cats especially, if they're afraid of strangers coming in the house, just put them in another room, close the door. That's what we have doors for. Pump up
But then they claw at the door, and then you get like the scratches at the door.
Maybe, but maybe not. Not if you give them other things to do. So you can give them toys to interact with, some toys that have food in it, perhaps. So you can go old school. Catnip can work really well.
Mm-hmm.
Same idea for dogs. You can give them things to do. So stuffed treats like cheese or low-fat peanut butter inside a toy and stuff it in there really good so they're very busy working at getting it out. Also, pump up the volume on WGN radio so they hear that and don't hear all the people over.
Great idea, Steve. Great idea. My daughter has a labradoodle, terrified of riding a car, very high-strung. I think there's a lot of inbreeding and you just have to be careful about the breed because you don't always know what you're going to get.
Well, that's true. A bulldog just won the National Dog Show presented by Purina.
Westminster?
No, National Dog Show.
The National Dog Show.
Right, right.
Different.
Yep. February is Westminster. I'm happy about it. I'm glad for the bulldog. But what happens is these dogs that win become even more popular. You talk about inbreeding. You talk about issues. My goodness, they have to be born cesarean because their head is so big.
Oh,
it's bigger than any radio.
I'm about to pass out.
Broadcaster, I know.
All right, Steve Dale. We're going to continue our conversation with him, and we also are soliciting you to call in. We need two players. 312-981-7200. Yeah, we're going to play a game. Are you up for it? Real poodle mix or made up dog? See how you do it, this Steve Dale. Back in a moment with more WGN
Help!
News. Steve Dale is in the studio right here. He's moved to a new time, 5:30 on Sundays.
Yes,
that's where you can catch Steve Dale and all things pet.
Bright and early, or at least early. I may not be bright.
Well, you are bright. We're going to get to our game here. Real poodle mix or made up dog? We have two contestants online, but first, let's hear from Mary. She has a question about her cat. Hey, Mary, go ahead. Steve Dale can answer your question.
Great, thank you. Hi, Steve. My cat recently was diagnosed with hemorrhagic cystitis.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with that?
Well, I know feline idiopathic interstitial cystitis.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's the same thing, and we're just talking terminology difference.
Okay. My question is, do you know if this is something that eventually they will get over? I'm kind of assuming that it has a lot to do with stress.
Ah, okay. Then we probably are talking the same thing. So I'm not a veterinarian. I'm a behaviorist. But actually, mm-hmm. this is up my alley. So for many, many years, so let me back up one step. Cats with interstitial cystitis oftentimes think outside the litter box because mm-hmm. it hurts when they go inside the litter box. And then they go wherever they go, often on a soft surface. Is that your cat?
He's going in the box somewhat. He misses quite a bit, I've put out.
Oh, gosh.
All right. So for many, many years, veterinarians threw all these drugs at this problem. They couldn't mm-hmm. even define what the problem is. And still, it's idiopathic, which means unknown cause. It's sometimes called Pandora's syndrome, actually, thinking outside the box, right? What do we do about it? Well, we enhance the enrichment that happens in the house. So you could look up stories that I've written, ask your veterinarian for ideas, but provide climbing space, provide vertical space, right? You want to hide the food in different places around the house, enrich the environment. That is the secret.
Mary, we got to get to the game, but thank you. Hope that helped. Hope to help you out.
We've got two
contestants now on the line. We've got Rick from Chicago, Bob from Lake Beach. Bob, are you there?
Yes, I am. Actually, Round Lake Beach.
Round Lake Beach, of course. That makes more sense. I've heard of that. Are you a big dog lover?
I am actually. I do love dogs, but I have two cats right now because I drive a taxi for a living. So.
Oh, perfect. It's easier to care for the cats.
I'm not home a lot, so two cats do just fine for me.
All right. That sounds good. Do we have another contestant, Jasmine? We're working on that. We just lost somebody. So tell us really quickly. We've got some other questions here for Steve Dale. Allergies is something came up. Pets that get ear infections can often be a symptom of the allergy. And one of the things that came on my radar recently is protein allergies are pretty common with dogs. And you wouldn't expect that if even like a chicken allergy or a certain type of protein can cause a problem and can cause ear infections.
Right. So the most common allergy in foods, if you go on the internet, would be grains. And actually, that's the least common. And foods themselves are not a common allergy in the first place. So if you're don't self-diagnose your dog or cat.
Right.
Go to the veterinarian.
Yeah. Best advice. Yeah. All right. Rick is back. We got him back on the line. Rick from Chicago. You there, Rick?
Hi, Anna.
Hi. Yes. So tell me, are you a dog lover, dog owner?
Both. I have a golden doodle, actually.
Oh, you might be good at this game, then. There might be a competitive edge.
Uh-oh.
So let's watch out here. We got prizes for both of you. The winner gets a $50 gift certificate from Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Check out The Edge, their state-of-the-art kitchen and bath showroom in Broadview, now also open in Orland Park. And the winner gets a Luminati's gift certificate, Luminati's home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at Luminati's.com. Second place gets the $50 gift certificate from Builder Supply Outlet. So you guys ready to play here? And you can call a lifeline, which is Steve Dale, because he knows all kinds of things. So that makes it a little bit easier. The question is it a real poodle mix or is it a made-up dog? All right, guys, you got it? Real poodle mix or made-up dog? Bob and Rick, let's start with you, Bob. You were the first on the line. The dog is Newfie Poo. Newfie Poo. Is that a real dog? Made-up dog.
Made-up dog.
Oh, totally a real dog. Real dog. All right. Wow. Rick, your turn. We've got Cavapoo. Cavapoo. Real poodle mix.
Cavapoo?
Cavapoo. Yeah, Cavapoo.
It's a real dog.
Real dog. Well done. Rick has 1 point. Okay, we've got Bob. Back to you. Here is yours. Spitz-a-doodle.
A what?
Spitz-a-doodle. Real poodle mix or made-up dog?
Spitz-a-doodle?
Yeah, Spitz-a-doodle.
Jeez.
Hello.
I don't even know what the first part is. What's the first part? What's the breed of the first part?
S-P-I-T-Z. Spitz, like the Spitz dog. Spitz-a-doodle.
So Spitz refers to dogs of the north?
Okay. I'm going to say that it is not, it's a made-up breed.
You got it. That's right. Yep. 1 point for Bob. Back to you, Rick. We've got Pug-a-poo. Is the Pug-a-poo a real dog, or is that a real poodle mix, or is that a made-up dog?
It's a real dog.
A real dog. Hey, you're kind of good
you
at this.
You guys, they don't even need me.
I know. I mean, really, they're not. They should be calling on you, though. Bob.
That's okay.
You're trailing by one here. We're going to three, so here's yours. A rover doodle. Is a rover doodle a real poodle mix or a made-up dog?
A
Rover Doodle.
Rover Doodle.
You're asking me the tough ones. The Cockapoo was an easy one.
You knew that one?
That was a gimme, man.
I thought that was
a Rover Doodle. You're giving me, like, some really bizarre stuff.
Yeah?
Rover Doodle.
Really?
I'm going to say it's a made-up breed. I'm going to have to say that.
You got it. 2 points each. Right. Okay, this is the sudden death round. We've got a question for you, Rick. Here it is. The Peek-a-Poo. Is the Peek-a-Poo?
That's a real dog.
How do you know this? You are totally
I
on.
I love dogs.
You're like, I didn't even know these existed. I was on an airplane this past week, and the woman there said she had with her a Chia-Poo. And that's not a question for you guys, but is it a Chia-Poo? Have you heard of this, Steve?
I've heard of it.
It's a Chihuahua and a poodle. Yep. Mix. That is something I had never heard of. All right, Bob, for the tie or for the loss, your question is the cock-a-doodle-doo. Real dog or made-up dog?
Oh, man. A cock-a-doodle-doo, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
What's your answer, made-up dog, real poodle mix?
I'm going to have to say it's a made-up dog.
Made-up dog. You called that one out. Okay, this is the final round. Let's see how you guys do. We've got Rick. Here's your question. Your made-up dog or real dog. It's up to you to decide. Corgi-poo. Is that a real dog or made-up?
Corgi-poo?
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough one. I would say it's real.
Real. You are correct, sir. Bob, Cockapoo.
A Cockapoo is an actual dog.
Actual dog. All right, you guys, you're too good at this. I think, can we arrange to give them both prizes? I'm going to ask my producer, Jazz. Can they both win? Yes, she gives me the thumbs up. I think you both get to win because you're so good and such good sports.
Congratulations.
Thank you for playing.
Now I've got one for Anna.
Good luck to you, Anna, on your own. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for playing this silly game. But you both get your $50 gift certificates from Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Check out The Edge, their state-of-the-art kitchen and bath showroom in Broadview, now open also in Orland Park. And then the Lou Malnati's gift certificates, home of Chicago's best deep dish. Both of you will get that, so that's very good.
I got one for you.
Mm-hmm.
The bagel.
That's not a dog, is it?
A what?
Is the bagel a dog?
A beagle and a basset hound.
Oh, yeah. My gosh, they are mixing everything.
I know.
Calling them designer dogs.
And actually, they're just mixes.
They're just mixes.
They're wonderful. But
well, explain this to me. Why has
go
that
to a
become
shelter, you
the
know?
New? I agree. I've always had shelter dogs growing up, but it was just the allergies that moved us in that direction
and
of going with the poodle mix.
You're not alone.
But your point is a well-taken one. Because it doesn't necessarily mean that they are hypoallergenic. That's sort of what you hope happens. But you're right. I guess, have you heard from people before who say, I got this dog, I have allergies, and it's completely messing with my allergies when I brought him home?
Yeah. Yeah.
Does happen.
Yep. Yep. But I have amazing news for you.
What's that?
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
We could talk about this in more detail next time I'm on.
Okay.
But the biggest, most common allergy in America for human beings is what, do you think?
Most common allergy.
Yeah, the most common thing worldwide, actually, that people, human beings are allergic to are...
It's got to be some kind of tree.
No.
Tree allergy.
No.
Honey.
I'm the pet guy.
Oh, yeah. Well, dander.
Cats. So it's cats.
Cats.
Yeah. And it's actually a protein on their saliva that we're allergic to.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, yeah.
It's the protein on their... Ew.
Yeah. So
but they don't have to lick you in order for you to be exposed to it.
No. What they do is they groom themselves. Mm-hmm. It's a sticky protein, and it sticks over there to the wall and on the floor and to your clothing. It sticks to everything over a period of time. Now, scientists have done this. They have found a way to neutralize that allergy.
Hmm.
And it will be, I believe, in my crystal ball in a Purina brand food sometime 2020.
So people who are allergic to cats or have real problems will eventually be able to have a cat.
That's right.
That changes things.
I'm
kind of grossed out by the explanation, but I think the end result, we got there.
Well,
the cat saliva thing? That's
No. They're using a protein found in egg to neutralize these allergies, which is incredible.
All right, Steve Dale, thank you so much for joining us. We can catch you on your Pet World blog and all the ways we can see you, but also here.
Yep.
On 5:30. Sundays, 5:30, bright and early in the morning. Thank you, Steve Dale.
Thank you.
The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.